If you're interested in attending Catholic worship, come consider the 10 o'clock a.m. Mass at St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts. We're located just four blocks up from Soldiers Field Road at 43 Holton Street. You can check out our website at stanthonyallston.org. That's stanthonyallston.org. And come to the 10 o'clock Mass and experience our chanted Liturgy of the Eucharist every Sunday. Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day as we continue through the octave of Easter, as we look back towards that first time that others outside of the apostles and from the apostles learned of the resurrection of Jesus. Let us celebrate your work in our lives. Let us celebrate your love for us, and let us celebrate this earth-shattering reality of your resurrection. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Well, if you heard my homily on Sunday, you will realize that one of the things I said is that I absolutely believe that the resurrection, if we look at it from a scientific perspective in light of the world, in other words, like a scientific discovery perspective, that the resurrection of Jesus is one of the most profound, no, it's the most profound moment in the history of the human race, because what it does is it redefines who we are as human beings if we realize that Jesus did this, and we seek to change our whole perspective of who we are based on the resurrection of Jesus. So you understand that. So I put it in the category, although obviously it'd be a higher level of the category, of the Copernican Revolution. And I always have. Now, what's the Copernican Revolution? The Copernican Revolution is when Copernicus formally announced on his deathbed, by the way, because he knew that there would be radical responses to this. Copernicus announced that he had discovered that it's not the sun that revolves around the earth, it's the earth that revolves around the sun. So this was a profound discovery, because you have to realize that up until that moment, and by the way, it took 200 years for people to accept this. It wasn't one of those things where people said, oh, that's interesting, and then moved on. It took literally 200. People still fought that for 200 years. And so this was one of the things that Copernicus, this is what Copernicus discovered, and that's called the Copernican Revolution, because it completely changed our understanding of ourselves. I always bring up that prior to the Copernican Revolution, when you had the Protestant Reformation, and then you had the response to it, which was the Council of Trent. In the Council of Trent, it says that it doesn't literally say the sun revolves around the earth. It says that there were two orbs, which would be considered the moon and the sun, that revolve around the earth. So it's incorrect, because it comes before the Copernican Revolution. Copernicus was a priest, by the way, and so therefore, within the context of the church, he made his announcement, but knowing that it would have tremendous effect, he did it on his deathbed, which means his assistant had to deal with, he became the lightning rod for all of this. And you may have heard his assistant, he was Galileo Galilei. Yes, it was Galileo. And that's one of the reasons why Galileo went through all the hell he went through. So we recognize this Copernican Revolution. Well, we realize that Jesus' resurrection is obviously infinitely greater than this, but at the same time, it is intensely revolutionary for all of humanity. So if we look at it from, if we were to look at it, list it among the great scientific discoveries that changed how we understand ourselves, that would be number one, but it would also be in that category. So we're looking at that. That's our reality about Jesus' resurrection. And that was what my homily was based on for Easter. Now, there's another interesting phrase in today's reading. And so, again, let's go back to what today's reading is all about. We have the apostles, obviously minus Judas, who are speaking out because they are in the upper room and they are speaking to the Jews, visiting for Pentecost. And as they are speaking to the Jews, they are telling them they're being witnesses of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And so we see this powerful moment where they are speaking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they are speaking of this powerful moment and obviously of the life of Jesus. So they're telling him that Jesus resurrected from the dead and now everything has changed. Now remember, the environment, similar to Copernicus in a sense, the environment, there are a lot of people saying that this didn't happen. There are a lot of people that saying if you choose to follow those people, then you will be out of the temple or the synagogue. And so you have this huge revolution happening. And just as in the case of Copernicus, where people said, no, we're not going to believe Copernicus, we're not going to believe any of this for about 200 years. Obviously, you know, that number went down of people who thought like that. And now it's, you ask any kindergartner, which is which, and they're going to say, well, obviously the earth goes around the sun. But at that point, it was such a great discovery. Well, here you have, again, this powerful moment where they are saying, we have witnessed this, and there's going to be a lot of pushback. But in this particular reading, which you can find in your favorite daily missal, in this particular reading, which comes from Acts 2, 36 to 41, you have the people who are hearing this, they're believing this, and now saying, what must we do? There's an interesting line we cannot forget. And this is something that we can see very powerfully from Cardinal Sarah's Catechism of Spirituality, which was wonderful. I finished the book. I absolutely loved it. And he talks about the action of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the church. And so if you look at the reading, what's it say? It says that Peter said to them that they were to repent, they were to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that they will have forgiveness of sins and will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that you need to realize when you understand this is this powerful moment of where this is being said, where this is happening, where Peter is making this statement. Cardinal Sarah reminds us that, especially in the 20th century, a lot of people have lost a sense of the reality of the Holy Spirit being just as much a part of our lives as Jesus and the Father. So when you see that, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So we recognize that embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is an essential part of what it means to be Catholic. And that's clearly one of the themes of Cardinal Sarah's book. But a lot of people will turn away from that. And especially here in the United States, there is a movement that's been around for about 50 years called the Charismatic Renewal. And it's really focused on the actions of the Holy Spirit. And there are these charisms that you will find listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 that people received from the Holy Spirit. Well, you go into a certain Catholic groups and you just even say the word charismatic and they will flip against you. They would, oh, we don't want nothing to do with that. But that is real. It's actually listed in the Catechism from Trent. It's listed in the Catechism. The gifts are listed in Catechism in Trent, or they're explained, and they're also listed in Catechism from Vatican II and the UCAT, because they are real. They come from the Bible. But what I want to focus in is not that. It's this was a time where people started focusing on bringing the Holy Spirit into our lives. And this is what Cardinal Sarah is talking about as well, bringing the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we are Trinitarian. Don't forget that. We seek and we have that relationship not only with Jesus, but with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is inspiring us to draw closer to the Lord. And the more, as it says, we are open to the Spirit, the more we see the Spirit operating in our lives. And all of this scene, all of this action is the Holy Spirit. Now, there are some people would say, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree, that if you look at, there were kind of like three eras in Christianity. There is the era of the Father, which would be the Old Testament. There is the era of Jesus, which would be the gospel times and his life on earth. And then there's the era of the Holy Spirit, which is Pentecost to the present day. It's not necessarily split up like that. We're not Donatists here, but we're looking at that powerful reality of the Holy Spirit is an essential part of what it means to be Catholic as well, because we are Trinitarian. So we don't just focus on the Father. We don't just focus on the Son. We don't just focus on the Holy Spirit, but we focus on God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives is just as Catholic as anything else we do, because everything is done through the Holy Spirit in our faith. And so we recognize that. We see that power. We see that reality. We see that truth. And in understanding that, we see this first discovery of this, in a sense, this first reality where this is manifested. And as I said, this is a radical change in humanity that you will see affect humanity for the rest of our existence, even to today and continuing on. But we also need to focus on, as Peter said, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus, by the way, had said to the apostles. So these are powerful moments that we are looking at. We'll talk more tomorrow. I want to call your attention to Catholic TV, which offers great faith-filled, family-friendly programming 24 hours a day. You can find your cable channel at www.getcatholictv.com, and you can watch online, on the free apps, or check out the YouTube channel. Daily Mass, Rosaries, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and the Our Lady of Perpetual Help Novena are all available online and on demand. Check out CatholicTV.com. Remember, when you're looking for a place to attend Mass, and if you don't already attend Mass at your local parish, come to St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. We're located at 43 Holton Street in Alston, just a few blocks up from Soldiers Field Road. And you can check us out. Come to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass and come to experience our Catholic worship at St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts.